Okay, so I think I often say when I go to preaching, through the week you're going, okay, what am I going to preach on? What am I going to preach on? And it's really good when you know, yep, that's what I'm going to preach on. It's really horrible when you keep waking up every morning going, I still don't know what I'm going to preach on Sunday. And then also you go spend, you know, you put time aside to do study for your message and you spend all this time studying it and you get to the end of it and you go, oh, that's useless. I'm not going to do that. And even yesterday I'm going, right, I'll study this and I think I'll do it on this and I'm working away on it. And then I felt God say, nah, that's not it either. And I said, well, God, you've got to tell me what to preach. Otherwise, I'm going to be looking really silly when I stand up and on Sunday morning and go, well, I haven't got anything this morning. And God comes through, which is really good. I just couldn't get away with coming back and talking about love. I've just had this revelation, this desire that we need to love more. And so this is Love Like Jesus Part 2. You know, one of the characteristics that I think would just change the whole world is if we loved more. If we as a church loved more. And if we loved people more. Did you know I was thinking your driving would change if you loved people more? Instead of abusing that person that cut you off, you'd be going, I want to love like Jesus. I love that person. You know? You'd change. I know some of you are going, no, that's far too much. There will be no changing in the way I drive towards people. Look, the greatest witness is our lives transformed to be like Jesus and us loving people. The greatest transformation, the greatest witness to people is how you love people, how I love people. John 13:34 says this, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Jesus, you got the Ten Commandments, and he's going, now I'm going to give you a new commandment. This is the new commandment. Love each other. Just as I've loved you, you should love each other. I don't know about you, I look at that as a standard and I go, whoa. We are being asked to love everybody just like Jesus loved everybody. And look, you know, you look at the life of Jesus and the characteristic was that he loved people. There's no denying that you know, even people who might not believe in God or don't have a relation with God or not a Christian, they'll tell you, oh yeah, Jesus was a really good man. He went around doing really good stuff. He loved people. And so it says in verse 35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciple. The whole thing for people is if they could see proof, the proof of your Christianity is how much you love people. The proof of being a disciple is how much you love people. The fruit of being a disciple is how much you love people. When's the last time you cried about something to do with a person's life? When's the last time you got overwhelmed with compassion for somebody that you just loved them? The proof that you and I are a disciple of Jesus is based on how much we love God. The evidence of the church, the witness of the church, is all boils down to how much do we love people. And I think I said it 2 weeks ago, when people think of the church and they think of Christians, do they think straight away, oh, those are the people that really love people? Or do they think, oh, they're those judgmental people that are always picking on something, that are always saying that something needs to be changed? What's the community look like? When they may mention church, do they go, oh, those people, they love people. Have you ever met someone from City Church? Have you ever met anybody from one of the local churches? They just love people. My God, my cry and my whole thing today is, God, help us to love people. Just help us to love people more. Ephesians 5 says, imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love. If people were to go with you on a journey of watching you for the whole week, 24/7, you know, they had basically, you put a camera on your head for the whole week and it's online. and everybody goes on it, would they go, man, look, that person's lived a life full of love? Would they look at you and go, man, the way that person did that was full of love? Or would they go, what would they go? What would they say? What would they say? Oh, yeah, they're quite good when they're out of their home, but man, in their home, my goodness, they're different. Or man, they seem to change when they get to work. You know, they've got all that nice stuff. Would someone say to you, man, you're a different person at church than you are at work? Or are you a different person at school or uni or when you're out socializing? Would you have a whole lot of different people that view you differently than what the people in this room view you? The challenge for us is that love just is that the word? You can have whichever word you want. It just comes out. It just comes out everywhere you go. They go, man, that person's full of love. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. In the message, watch what God does, then you do it. You do it. It's an action. Love is shown in our actions. Our actions are showing how much we love God. Yeah. Our actions are showing how much we love people. Yeah. What you do with your money is showing how much you love. It's an indicator. Watch what God does, then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Mostly. God does lots of things. You know, we love his miracles and we love all the things. But most of what God does to you and to me is love us. Loves us. Unconditionally loves us. Loves us with unconditional love that has no strings attached. Keep your company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. Man, I love that. Is your love for God extravagant? How would I know that you love God? Would I look at you and go, man, that guy's extravagant? Extravagant is to go over the top. Like you all do with your spouse. I hope. Your love is just over the top, isn't it? Isn't it? Come on, say yes. Some of you are too scared to say yes, aren't you? Come on, is your love for your spouse overwhelming? Extravagant? When's the last time you bought an extravagant gift as a sign of your love? Yeah, I don't believe in flowers, mate. Flowers are just a waste of time. They're going to die. That's why they're extravagant. They are not practical. They make no sense whatsoever to the logical mind. But man, when you give them, I still can't believe how much Eleanor loves it when I bring her flowers. It blows me away. It's so easy. She's going to go, you just walk in, get some flowers. She's going, oh, I love you. I don't go, oh, yeah. So how often have you done something extravagant? And look, this love of extravagant isn't just in our relationship of marriage. It's got to go flowing right through. Yeah. Are you extravagant in what you do for your boss? It's Christmas time. And most people are thinking, oh, right, I hope the workplace gives us a good Christmas gift this year. Have you ever thought about going, oh, right, I'm going to make sure my boss gets a really good Christmas gift. I really appreciate him. He's done an amazing, or her. They've been so awesome. Love is extravagant. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Man, is that a challenge? If I just said, look, the homework for the rest of the week is just to love like that. That would revolutionize our worlds. 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends. You always think when it's saying dear friends, it's starting out really, really nice. But, you know something's coming, don't you? Let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love is not a child of God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. So how I love people reflects how much I know God. Yes. And as I've read that, I've gone, man, I don't know God very well. Because I don't think I love anywhere near how he's challenging us to love. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Do you think about how you love people in the church? Do you think about how you love people? And could you say that it's the same love that Jesus had for me? The same love that Jesus modeled. I know about you, I feel like we're starting at ground level and we're about to climb the mountain. We've only taken a couple of steps up the mount. And that, man, this area of love is just so huge and requires so much of us. But it's the thing that will change the world. It's the thing, you know, for all the abilities that we might have to be able to share our faith, if we loved people, it would change their lives. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. Can you see what that means? Nobody's seen God. Everybody, I don't know if you've, you know, when you've been sharing your faith with people, they go, oh, look, if you just show me God, I'll believe him. How many people have had that? You know, I go, this is saying the reason, the way people see God is that they see it through you and me and how much we love. Do people look at your life and go, there must be a God? Do people look at your life and go, man, that must be what God's like? Do people look at the church and go, man, the love flowing out of church is just overwhelming? I mean, that's why we're doing things like these Christmas boxes and these gifts. It's about that love for people that changes their lives, that just enables them to feel love, because the world's crying out for it. People are so lonely, they're by themselves, they want to be loved. And I know we want God to love people, but God sort of does it through us. The way people see how much God loves is how much you and I love. That's their full extent to know how much God loves. And that's when we start thinking about, we think, man, as a church, we've failed so many times. We've failed because people just haven't felt that love. God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Full expression. The full of expression of God's love should be flowing out of you and me. To every person we meet, everywhere we go, that love just flowing into people. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. You know, the whole benefit of, or the whole purpose of you being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you would be like Christ and love people. It's the fruit of it. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the result of having God in us that we're just overwhelmed and we let that love flow out. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. And we know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. It's like it can't be separated out. You can't separate out and go, oh, there's a Christian, there's someone that's like, you can't, that love is just part of everything that flows through you and me. How you love people flows through everything you do. And that's the expression of God living in us. Because we know God's love. We have no problem with going, I know God loves me. I know Jesus loves me so much. We sang it when I was a little kid. Jesus loves me, this I know. I don't think they sing that anymore, do they? It's a good verse, good little song. But they know God loves, but do they know, does it come out of us the same way? That it's just every part of us is full of love. You imagine how different your life would be if that was the expression of everything you did. You wouldn't get angry. You wouldn't get impatient. Love is patient. You wouldn't be nasty. Love is kind. The expression just flows through everything that we do. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. Verse 20, if someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person's a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must love those who love their fellow believers. I don't know about you, I read these and I go, as church we focus a lot on God and we say we love God, but then we don't love people. We've got this huge gap. If your love for God is basically revealed or shown by your love for people, where do you sit? What does your love got? Like if your love for God is the standard for how much you love people, what does it look like? Because it's easy to go, oh, I love God. I love you, Jesus. It's easy to worship and do that. But how much we love God is expressed and shown in how much we love people. Your love for people is a summary, is a picture of how much you love God. They're into what you can't escape them. You can't separate them. Oh no, it's all right, Alan. I love God, but I hate his people. You can't, that's how sometimes we look, oh, I hate that person. And I know people annoy us, don't they? How many people have ever had someone annoy them? How many have never had anyone really annoy them? But here's this whole challenge for us. I've got to love people like I love God. Do you know it changes the way you do everything? When you do it out of love. Here's some facts of love. Love is a decision. Love is captured in action. Your love is captured in your actions. Love encompasses spirit, soul, and body. Deuteronomy 6:5. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your spirit, all your soul, and all your strength. Love is an inner force, an inner strength. How are you going to build your inner strength? You've got to exercise it. No different to physical exercise. The way you build your love is to exercise love. That you exercise. So how much love exercises have you been doing? Have you got some goals? Man, I need to exercise. I need to get this happening in my life. Love compels us or impels us from within, drives us to perform an action for the object of our affection. Sometimes our action is for the sake of another. You know, when you love somebody, then you do actions for them. You know, some of the things that we do are because we see other people's love. Let me explain. When Sharon shared this morning about the grandmother who had, I think, 7 of her children that she's looking after. And we all go, man, she wants to love her kids. We get that motivation and that love to do something for her so that she can do it for the kids. We might think the kids are brats. Those kids. You might see kids around and go, oh, man. But you know that their mother and their grandmother loves them so much, you want to help that position. You get motivated by their love for somebody else. Love compels us to self-sacrifice. You know, and I do think having children is one of the ways God shows us the selfishness in our lives. You remember that when you first had kids, you know, you thought you had everything. You go, man, great, we're going to have this kid, and this first baby comes along, and man, those babies are selfish. Man, they just want all your time, and you can't just leave them for an hour or two or more. And it just shows you how much, man. Most parents that will have had kids will go, man, it just shows you how much. And I think God's dealing with our selfishness. And we begin to love that kid, and it doesn't matter what happens. We want to serve that kid. That love is the same love that God wants us to have for everyone. So how do we love people more? I think we've got to go on a journey of deciding, man, I just want to have more love in my life. God, help me. God, help me to have more love in my life. You know, we often pray, God, you know, to send your Holy Spirit. We want more of God. The outworking of more of God is more love. You know, when we pray that prayer, God, we want your Holy Spirit to come down here. The result of that, we will love people more. We will love people more. See, all our actions then begin to change out of love. So we have a prayer meeting up here. The prayer meeting starts to have a benefit when we can see that that's about loving people and loving God, yeah. Because I'm praying for people. Yeah. It's out of that love for people that we go, I'm going to pray. When we do our prayer for these needs. Yeah. See, when you pray just out of, oh, they've said we've got to pray, it's got nothing to it. But when you pray out of a love for a person, it changes the way you pray. You think of somebody in your family that you know going through something. You pray way different when you know them and you understand it. That's the way God wants us to pray for every situation. Because God loves that person just as much as the next person, as much as the next person. And our prayers change when we fall in love with people. We have a struggle praying for people when we don't love. And maybe that's a reflection of our prayerlessness, because we need more love of God. And we come back to God and go, God, help us to love. How can you show love? You can give the gift of time. Stop, listen to someone, talk to someone. Give them words. Your words, words of encouragement. See, I think every person we meet should go away feeling uplifted or feel different because they had an encounter with us. Every person you meet in a shop, every person you meet along the way, they should feel the love somehow. By your words. Man, you're awesome. Thanks for that. See, by even your gratefulness expresses love. Everything that you do, everywhere you go, you're expressing love, or you're not. You're holding out on people. Give them words, encouraging words. Be thankful. Give them a gift. Give them something. Again, I look at changes in our society that mean that people don't seem to spend as much time in hospitality with people. We don't seem to have people over as much as we used to, as much as I think my parents used to, I think we used to have people over all the time. They'd always be having dinner with people. Do you know that's an expression of love? And maybe the challenge for us is that we need to do more hospitality as an expression of love. As people come over, and look, maybe you go, well, I can't cook, which I can't cook. Dessert. Everybody can buy ice cream. Just have some people over. That shows love. Oh, you know, I'm too busy. Ellen, you just don't understand my schedule. You see, that's the excuse, but the outworking of our love should be stronger than that. And go, I'm going to make time. I'm going to set a goal that I'm going to just have somebody over once every 2 weeks or once a month or once a week. I'm going to have lunch with somebody. That hospitality, you know, because it's sad that even in churches, people are feeling lonely. Yeah. Do you know people come into our church and feel lonely still? Yeah. In fact, if I was to do an honest survey, we'd probably have 50 people in this room that says, oh, I'm lonely. And I go, in our household of faith, why is that? Because we live our own little lives and we forget about the people around us. Right now, even now, God's telling you of people you should just have over, have a coffee with, spend some time with. That's the expression of love. That's the outworking of that love for them. Give them a gift. Do something for them. Do something with them. Ask if you could pray for them. I had this little revelation for myself that I wonder whether a lot of our prayers don't work for people when we pray for them for healing because we don't love enough. And that if our prayers were an overflow of our love, I think we'd see more miracles. Because that's where God is, in that love. And so you praying for someone is a real expression of love. Man, look, I can't do anything for you, but I know God can. Let's pray about this. Give them a hug. Look, the hard thing with things like hugs is that the world's tainted them and it gets all weird. And look, some of you shouldn't give hugs because it's... But in some ways... Well, it is. Sometimes but we've got to work out how we also, though, show love and we show a hug. And I love the way Josh in the youth has got a great, you know, the boys come and they get it right. And I think that's life-changing. I think the way Sean approaches these guys and like, they walk into youth, that's for some of them, that's the only expression of love they've had. It's life-changing. I like it that I think we hug in church more than we used to. I don't know whether that was just me changing. I think my dad's always hugged people. And I can remember one of my friends coming when I was at university and I came over with a whole lot of youth people and we came to church here. And this girl, Nikki, came to church with us and Dad gave her a big hug as she came in the door. He gave us all a big hug. I can tell you, I can remember her talking about that five to 6 months later, that love, that expression of love did something in her life. Because of her background, she'd never had that. And I know you go, oh yeah, but I'm not a huggy person. Oh, work out a way. It's a real hard one to talk about because some of it is creepy, isn't it, sometimes, the old hugs. And some of you are going, oh, I hope that guy's not going to come up and hug me now. Look. I think as guys, you've got to be very careful hugging girls. I just don't go. Don't be weird about it, okay? For the next week, it's going to be weird every time someone gives you a hug. Just because we've talked about it. How often do you hug your kids? Some of the kids are going, oh, I don't want my parents to hug me any more than they are. Oh, yes, it was the old church side hugs. Okay. Come on, we've got to show people love. I think last time I talked about being aware of people. That's a sign of love, that you're not so self-absorbed that you don't see people. Do you see people sitting by themselves? Do you see people go, man, I've never met that person? You know, do you see people? Not just see them, but see them with expression of love. Or are you too busy? You know, Paul Scanlon read the story of Zacchaeus in Luke 9. And you know, Jesus changed Zacchaeus' life in one day with one encounter with him. Let me just read it. Zacchaeus starts in Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. He had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. I know what that's like. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Do you know, knowing someone's name is a great way of showing love? Just throw that in there. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down here. I must be a guest in your home. And look, Jesus invited himself to his house. I don't know whether I'd quite do that. Invite them to your house. But this is an encounter with Jesus that changed this guy's life. It had to be more in the way that he said it, in the way that he talked with Zacchaeus, in the way that he looked at Zacchaeus, in the way that he encouraged Zacchaeus, that Zacchaeus just had felt the love. Quick, come down here. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down. He was excited. He was, man, this is awesome. Jesus is going to my house. Oh, man, this is great. And took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Can I just throw this in? If you grumble about things and things that are done for other people, is that a sign that you lack love? Because love rejoices in a person having success or in things going good for a person. Love gets so excited. Man, that's awesome. You got that promotion. That is so good. You only grumble when you've got to the stage where you've stopped loving. You know, there's lots of connotations with that. We grumble about God when we stop loving. We grumble about the church when we stop loving. We've got to keep fueling our love for God and for people. The more time I spend with God, the more time I should love people. The result of that should be I want to love people more. He has gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Jesus didn't look at anything about a person and write it off. He didn't write off that they were rich. He didn't write them off that they were poor. He just loved people. Didn't matter who they were, he loved them. We show love by being approachable. And I think last week, I feel this is going to be one of my little hobby horses. For me, the sign of love is that you smile at people and that you're happy and that you laugh. Laughter and smiling is a sign of love. So again, let's just go. You know, the test is, by looking at how much you smile, is that an example of how much you love? And how are you doing on the scale of 1 to 10? If how much you laugh with people is a sign of how much you love people, how much time do you laugh with people? How much time do you spend laughing with your spouse? Best way is to laugh at yourself and they'll join in. They probably already are. How much do you laugh? Can I set you a goal for this Christmas when all the family's around? Laugh as much as you can. Don't take things so seriously. If you love the person, you wouldn't get offended. The only reason we get offended is that we're selfish about our own rights. And we take ourselves too serious. But when you love somebody, you just forgive them. Isn't it love? Love and forgiveness go hand in hand. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That's it. Love covers sin. I think that's a fascinating one because we want to reveal everybody's sin. But love means that I don't reveal people's sin. And I don't try and point out your sin. I love you regardless of your sin. Despite your sin, I love you. That's why we love God, isn't it? We love God that he loves us so much because he's got unconditional love for us. Do we have unconditional love for people? Does your love have no conditions attached? I know it's like I feel like I'm you know you do the high jump and they start off really low and you go, yeah, I can do that, and then they get it up about this height and you go, well, I can't do that. Well, I feel like I've just put it up about here and saying, come on guys, we've got to jump up that high. And that is true. Without God, we're never going to get to that level of being able to love like him. But that's the goal. That's the desire in us, that we're going to love people so overwhelmingly. You know, what would be the greatest result would be that we had a person come into this church and you go, why have you come here? He said, look, everywhere I went, this person did this, and I said, what, who are you? And they, and what church do you go to? And that basically the thing that made them come was they met so many people from City Church that loved them. Or so many Christians. I mean, it goes right throughout. But that was the sign that made them go, man, I want to go to church. I can't believe that they look at you and me and they go, that love is just overwhelming. We love with a smile. We love by showing grace. We love by being self-giving. We show love by praying for people. You know, Mark 1:4, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And he said, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him and said, I'm willing, be healed. The compassion preceded the prayer. And maybe that's what we need a little bit more of. That we feel the person's pain, that we pray out of God, take away this pain. I'm willing, he said, be healed. Instantly the leprosy disappeared. We show love by giving. For this is how God loved the world, he gave. He gave. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We show love by being generous. And I love it that the church gets to know, be known as the most generous place. I was up at up in Auckland at the opening of Life Church up there. Have just opened a new building that is a miracle. It's a 1,700 seating auditorium that's just great. But their goal as a church is to put $20 million a year into the community by 2020. Their goal is that they've got so much coming in that they can put $20 million into the community just to touch people. And I go, whoa, that'll change people. That generous, that meeting people's need. You love people by meeting their needs. You meet someone's need. Man, it's an act of love. Now we all got to come back. I'm not doing it for this purpose because love is just done out of an action of love, not to get any gain. But there will be a gain out of loving people. Why don't you close your eyes and maybe musicians could come. I don't want people to be manipulated. We're going to take an offering just for those boxes because I want to make sure that we can give those boxes, and I don't know whether everybody's always had an opportunity to do it, as well as for the gifts for the children in care. We want to just make sure we've got enough to be able to bless those. But look, I don't want people to give out of, Alan's talked about love and I need to give. No, I want it to be out of heart. I want you to be moved. And maybe God's moving you to go do something else. And I go do it. Maybe it's to give somewhere else. Go do it. Do it. The expression of our love will come out in what we do and what we say. And we are so rich. And look, our money makes a huge difference in people's lives around the world. So what's God calling you to do? Why don't you just take a moment and say, God, what do you might even just be like me and say, God, help me. God, help me to love more. God, help me to love people more. Father, we love you. We thank you that you loved us unconditionally. You loved us with no strings attached. You accepted us when others didn't accept us. And Lord, I pray you'd help us as a church to be an expression of that love in everything we do. In everything we go, say, every action that we do, Lord, I pray people would sense your love. Lord, that people that would come into interaction with the church, which is people all around Tauranga, would just feel the love that comes. Help us, Lord, to change. We're transformed by renewing our mind, changing the way we think, Father. So, Lord, help us to think like you think, how you think for people, how you love people. And, Lord, may it be an expression of us, Lord. Lord, I pray that it be something natural we do. Lord, not something manufactured, but something that becomes so natural in the way that we do life that people feel loved. People in the church, people outside the church, Father. In the church, Father. Lord, I just pray people would feel loved. And Lord, I pray for all the people that are in here today that maybe don't feel loved or feel lonely. Lord, I pray that they would be able to love others. And even as I started to pray there, if you were one of those people that said, I would say I'm lonely, well, why don't you start to love? Start to love. You go, I don't know whether I can do that. Just start on one person. Do something for one person. Ask God to help you. And out of you loving, you'll be loved.